Well, I have a kind of a unplanned tradition here. It seems that on this particular worship service every year, I usually find my heart stirred to bring some kind of a story to you, usually a children's story. And this year is no different. I want to share this with you this morning. This is something that actually Ron turned me on to this a year ago, and I shared it with our kids. But this is called The Legend of the Three Trees. It's a folk tale that has been brought forward beautifully and illustrated. And I want to share that with you this morning and talk a little bit about what it is that God plans for us and how it is that we plan for God and how we fit into that. So if you'll bear with me, I'd like to open with prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, I want to read you this legend of the three trees. There'll be some illustrations up here on the screen. You can follow along. I'm not nearly as important as the pictures are, so if Ron just stays up there, that'll be great. Life burst into the world on the third day of creation. From under the water, God brought forth the earth. Peeking up through the earth's soil, green plants waved like millions of tiny flags. Grasses, bushes, and trees grew into every size and shape. The trees towered above all. There were pine trees and poplar, olive and oak, willow and walnut. Each held its own seeds and fruits. Their seeds and fruits scattered as animals carried them from the trees. In a green valley, a fox dropped an olive pit. Along a rocky shore, a stork split open an acorn. And on a tall mountain, a goat shook loose a seed from a pine cone. The pit, the acorn, and the seed grew into saplings. In time, a beautiful olive tree blossomed in the valley. A mighty oak stood on a rocky coast, and a tall pine tree stood on the mountain. As each tree grew, it dreamed of what it would become. The olive tree dreamed of becoming a beautiful and important treasure chest. Decorated with sparkling jewels, it would hold the greatest treasure in the world. One day, a woodsman came to the forest and chose the olive tree from all the other trees. The olive tree trembled with happiness. At last, it would become a beautiful treasure chest. The woodsman took the olive tree to his workshop. He cut the wood into boards and hammered them into a box shape. But to the tree's surprise, the woodsman did not make the box into a treasure chest. Instead, he filled the box with hay and dragged it into a stable with messy sheep, smelly cows, and noisy chickens. The olive tree saw that it had become a manger, a mere feeding box for animals. It knew then that it would never hold a treasure. As the olive tree's dream faded in the dusty stable, the oak tree looked out over the water with a dream of its own. Strong and proud, it dreamed that its trunk would be made into a mighty ship that would carry a king. One day, shipbuilders cut down the oak tree and hauled it to their boatyard. They sawed the broad trunk into boards. They bent the boards to form the sides of the boat. With each passing day, the oak tree felt certain that its dream was coming true. But when the shipbuilders were done, the oak felt small and weak. It had not become a mighty ship at all. Instead, it was a little fishing boat launched on a calm lake. The mighty oak knew then that a king would never sail in a little fishing boat. High on the mountainside above the oak, the pine tree stood tall. Many times it saw people in the valley looking up. It hoped that its towering branches would remind people of the glory of God's creation. It dreamed that it would always stay on the mountain and point people to God. One night, a fierce storm shook the mountain. The pine tree bent and swayed in the powerful wind. As thunder boomed, a bolt of lightning flashed from the sky and splintered the tree's trunk, and with a great crash, the pine tree fell to the ground. The pine tree's dream crashed down with it. No one would ever look up to it again. Its long trunk now just blocked the mountain road. The tree thought that things could not possibly get worse, but then strong soldiers hauled it to a scrapyard. unused and forgotten. The pine lay on the heap of old lumber. It knew then that a piece of scrap wood could never point people to God. Many years passed. The tree's great dreams seemed so far away that they stopped thinking about them. For what greatness could come to a feed box, a fishing boat, and scrap wood? But God had his own plan for each of the three trees. One night, shepherds keeping watch over their flock saw an angel. A great light shone all around. The angel told them not to be afraid, for their Savior had been born in Bethlehem. Just as the angel had said, the shepherds found the baby lying in a manger. The olive tree had not become a treasure chest, but now as a manger, it held the greatest treasure of all time, God's only Son, Jesus. The infant Jesus grew into a man, and the man traveled to the very lake that held the oak fishing boat. One day, the little boat carried Jesus onto the lake with the fishermen. Suddenly, a great storm swept over the lake. Water washed into the boat. The oak boat struggled with all of its strength so it would not sink. "Quiet, be still," Jesus said. The storm stopped. The oak boat felt Jesus' power. The boat had never carried a king of this world, but now it carried the King of Kings. One day, soldiers came for the forgotten pine. From the pine's trunk, they made a cross, and they placed Jesus on it. On a hillside, under a blackening sky, the pine cross swayed as the soldiers raised it. The cross did not know if it could bear the weight of the man upon it, but it did. That day, Jesus died on the cross to take away the sins of all who believe in him. Jesus fulfilled his heavenly Father's plan for him, and ever since, the cross points people to God as a symbol of his great love for us. And what of the three trees? They too had fulfilled God's plans for them. Miraculously, God's plans had taken them beyond their youthful dreams. Sometimes the dreams we have for ourselves are much smaller than the dreams that God has for us. The three trees' dreams came true, just not in the way they had imagined. And so it is with each of us. For if we follow God's path, we will travel far beyond even our greatest dreams. And that's, my friends, is the story of the three trees. There's been some inventions going on in the English language in the last few years, always are. Language is a growing thing, changes, transforms, dictionaries are always being added to. And rewords, I've noticed, have become really popular this year. If you're into pets, you'll run into the word rehome. When a pet is moved from one home to another, it's not called abandoned, it's not called adopted anymore, it's called rehomed. It's kind of a kinder word, right? There's another word that's come along, it's called repurposed. Have you heard that one? Things are repurposed. You find something in your home that once did something, and it doesn't do that anymore. But you go, you know what, that would be good for this. And so you repurpose it, and it does something altogether different. It was planned for one thing, but reused for another. That's being repurposed. Often things are repurposed to a surprising end. Often repurposing adds unforeseen value to something that previously had little value. That's repurposing. The trees in the story that I just read to you, they were repurposed. They wanted to become one thing, but in the love of God and the power of Jesus, they became something different, something better, repurposed beyond their own imagining. It's the same with Mary. Same with Mary. Her plans are unexpectedly interrupted. Her life was going so well. As a 13 or 14-year-old young lady, she had been betrothed to a man who had a trade. She was doubtless the pride of that small town. And then everything changed. Everything changed. At first, it must have seemed a great disappointment to her. I mean, we live in a relatively small town, nowhere near as small as Nazareth, and you know how rumors get around. I've always wondered how Mary and Joseph lived with that in Nazareth in those days. You can imagine all the neighbors kind of going, oh, did you hear about Mary? You know, she said it was the Holy Spirit. She must have been really disappointed. It must have been a great trial. But she doesn't give in to that disappointment. She turns to this angel of all things and she says, just ask a very logical question. How will this be because I am a virgin? And the angel gives her this explanation. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God will be at work in you and with you. Ultimately, Mary is repurposed to a greater end than she ever imagined. A greater end for all the world. Even though she can't understand this new purpose, she trusts and she exceeds. Let it be to me as you have said. It's the same with Israel. Their identity had been God's chosen people in God's promised land. And then their plans were interrupted by conquest. They were taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. No longer the chosen people, now the outcast. No longer in the promised land, now in heathen land. Most certainly this was a great disappointment for them. It must have been a tremendous crisis in faith. Where is our God? How can we be here? I thought we were the chosen people. But God tells them to just continue to live their lives faithfully. He wants them to make the most of the situation. He says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. God has a plan for them. And God wants them to work into his plan. Just live your life. Just live your life and trust me, he says. And ultimately, the prophet reassures them. The prophet reassures them saying, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So just continue to build the welfare of this city where I have placed you, even if your circumstances appear unlikely, unfortunate, and undesirable. Although they can't see it, Israel has been repurposed to a greater end. They just have to trust God's goodness. And says God, I will restore your fortunes. This seems like a good word to me in this year. We have lived through 2020. Many of us have been knocked off our course. Things have changed. We all know that. We all know that. But God still speaks. And God still tells us, I will restore your fortunes. Just live into this. Care for the city in which I have placed you. It's the same with this church and those of us that comprise it. God may well be using this pandemic to repurpose us. We've already seen some of that. I've talked to you about our attendance, which is just absolutely remarkable. We have far exceeded anything that we have ever seen before when we could physically come to this church week after week in terms of the number of people we're reaching for Jesus Christ through that video medium. That's a blessing. That's a miracle. Doesn't look like it, doesn't feel like it, but it is. God wants to redirect our plans. God wants to redirect our priorities, and he wants us to follow him to his desired end. And I am convinced that that's what he's up to in this day and age, as impossible as it is to see. He wants to cause us to rethink who and how we are and what our core values are as a church. And we've done that. We've created new vision and mission statements, and we're moving forward with them. Hopefully, we have been listening clearly and carefully, and hopefully, we're in keeping with God's plan for this church. He's repurposing us. Repurposing us into new life. Like Mary, like Israel, like the three trees, if we don't lose faith and hope, we're liable to emerge from this era stronger and more useful to God. We may well emerge repurposed to better ends than we might ever have dreamed. And the process may be painful. We see that in the examples I brought up this morning. It may appear disappointing and confusing, but in power of Christ transforming love, the end is sure. The end is sure. Let me read to you again the very ending of the three trees story. Sometimes the dreams that we have for ourselves are much smaller than the dreams that God has for us. The three trees' dreams came true, just not in the way they had imagined. And so it is with each of us. For if we follow God's path, we will travel far beyond our greatest dreams. Amen.